Get your Bibles, and I guess the best place to start would be over in John 14. That's where we'll begin. And this is the second part of how the Holy Spirit teaches Christians. And again, if you remember, I had handed out a questionnaire, and that questionnaire simply just said, you know, how does the Holy Spirit teach people? And you were supposed to give an answer as though somebody came to you and asked you that question. Well, some of the responses that I got back were responses that were more geared toward me because there were a tremendous number of assumptive statements in those answers. Some people wrote some things in their answers as though the person already understood certain things and certain terms and so forth and didn't adequately answer the question, how does the Holy Spirit teach a person, if that question were coming from somebody who had no clue. And along with that, it was interesting how that some of the responses, they had the essence of the answer, but they were so broad that a person who didn't know would not have been able to read between the lines. Now, I knew what was being said, and I understood what was being presented, but somebody who didn't know, this would have presented a real challenge to them. They would have maybe caught little bits and pieces and said, well, okay, yeah, I understand that, but I don't know how it fits in. And therefore, they would have come away still not having the answers that they needed. And I shared with you that this is something that those who have been here for a while really should be able to teach. You should be able to sit down with someone and explain to them from a scriptural standpoint how the Holy Spirit teaches a person. And very simply put, just looking at somebody and saying, well, pray in tongues, that's not good enough. Especially if the person has a somewhat analytical mind, they want you to explain to them, why am I supposed to do that and how do I benefit from doing that? Because you're just telling me to do something, but you're not explaining it. Now, it's not wrong to want an understanding, an explanation, because let's say that somebody were to tell you, well, the reason that you're not receiving teaching from the Holy Spirit is because you're not giving enough in the offerings. Now, to us, that sounds just purely foolish, but you need to understand that that's the kind of a doctrine that exists in the body of Christ. If you're not receiving anything from God, that's because you're not putting anything into God. So until you put anything into it, you're not going to get anything out of it. You know, you get what you pay for. Well, teaching doesn't... or us receiving teaching from God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with money. Absolutely nothing to do with money. Because, let's say you're not giving the way that you're supposed to. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit wants to teach you, is that you're not being obedient the way you ought to be obedient. So let you and me have a talk about this. Nevertheless, we want to take this a little bit further. And just to review very briefly, Scripture was given to us. Now, we won't go back and go through a lot of the verses. All of that is on the previous tape. Scripture indicates that it was given to us, the Bible was given to us by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, the term inspiration of God literally could have been written by the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. So Scripture has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, since He's the one who taught it, it would be incredibly foolish for us to think that without His help, we have the ability to clearly understand that which He gave. Now, I don't know if I used this example the last time, but I'll use it. Just think in terms of Einstein and his theory of relativity. Did I use that example last time? I didn't? Oh, well, good. Think in terms of Einstein and his theory of relativity. Now, there's probably none of us in here who fully understand that. Some of us may understand it a little bit more. I enjoy reading things like that, and anyway. But when it comes to his theory of relativity, we could look at this and read it, and we could give it to professors at Harvard and Yale, MIT, I mean, just all these different colleges and universities. And then each one of those professors would stand up, and they would begin to teach us what they believed Einstein was saying when he wrote the theory of relativity. Now, here's what's interesting. If you've done any kind of research on this subject matter at all, you're going to find that there are professors out there, experts in physics and so forth, who actually have different opinions about what Einstein wrote. Some will say, well, you know, this is what he was saying here. Another person will say, no, because the formula, this formula, that math, and so forth, it's this. And there can be conflicting opinions. Now, let's imagine that dear Albert were still with us. Albert Einstein. Let's imagine that he was still with us. Now, we've gone to Stephen Hawking, and we've gone to Carl Sagan, and we've gone to Isaac Asimov, and we've gone to all these others who apparently are experts in these things. And we're assuming that, you know, they're all still with us. Most of them that I mentioned are. Anyway, and they give us their understanding. And they teach us what they believe the theory of relativity is all about. But then we say, I appreciate everything that you're giving to me. However, I think I would like to go and sit at the feet of Albert Einstein himself and ask him questions and let him explain to me what he wrote and what he meant. Oh, you don't need to do that, little student. You listen to me. I can tell you exactly what Einstein meant. Well, I can appreciate your confidence in believing that you know exactly what he meant. Nevertheless, in spite of the fact that you may know exactly what he meant, I still would like to sit at the feet of Albert Einstein and get it directly from him. Oh, no, little student. Here at Harvard, we have advanced to the point that you don't need to go to Albert Einstein. Just come to our classes, and we will teach you everything you know or need to know about the theory of relativity. Well, now let's suppose that that's just not good enough for me. And I say, well, Mr. Professor, I will come to your classes. However, I want you to know that Mr. Einstein is going to be holding seminars every Tuesday night over here in the gymnasium, and I'm going to go to those. Well, you can't do that. How dare you assume that he would know more than us? Now, we know that that kind of a scenario would probably have never taken place, except for the fact I feel very confident in saying that if Einstein were alive today, there would be professors and experts who would literally sit before him and argue with him over what he wrote and tell him how, no, you didn't mean that. I'll tell you what you meant. That is exactly what happens in the body of Christ when we stand up and we tell you what the Holy Spirit meant, yet we never spend time with the one who wrote what we're teaching you from. The Holy Spirit gave this to us. Therefore, if we do not encourage fellowship with the Holy Spirit, then how can we say we are putting ourselves in a position to adequately learn from the author exactly what he was writing? Now, this does not eliminate the need for the teacher in the body of Christ. We know that because Jesus himself appointed teachers for the body of Christ. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So we're not eliminating that because we need those, all of those ministry areas. We need them. It's just that when we want to make sure if our professors in class are teaching us what the author was saying correctly, we need to go to the author. So I can go to the Holy Spirit and I can say, Holy Spirit, I need to know something from you. This is what I've heard about this particular passage. I've heard it from 15 different preachers. And they all are saying basically the same thing. Is that really what you were saying? What if he says no? Better yet, how are you going to know how to receive from him your answer? See what I'm saying? Now here's the common concept in this. You go, you ask, and you wait for your answer. In other words, I say, tell me, and I'm supposed to wait for him to tell me. In theory, that could work. Except, in Scripture, we have some things lined out for us that help us understand what we can do beyond just asking. We can become an active participant with the Holy Spirit to receive from Him clear explanation concerning what He's teaching. Now, in this, keep in mind that the New Testament, as we go through and we read it, these writers received from the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes, I know when I was growing up, we knew that God gave the Bible. You know, He spoke to these people and, you know, they wrote down what they wrote down. And I really didn't understand what that meant. I just knew that's what they told me. And I believed it because, to me, it made even common sense. Well, this is God's Word, so obviously God must have said something to somebody, and they wrote it down. But I didn't understand the process. Truth of the matter is, nobody, when I was growing up in church, nobody clearly explained the process. We just assumed that it took place and went from there. Interestingly, though, if we had just taken the time to adequately investigate some of the scriptures, we would have come to the place of understanding how the process took place. Now, in John chapter 14, Jesus makes some really interesting statements. And I realize that many of you already know this, but keep in mind, even though this may seem like a lot of review, you need to be in the position of explaining this to somebody else. Because not all the people you come in contact with are going to want to come here to church. They're going to want to stay in their own church, but they still may be asking you some questions. So you need to be able to do essentially what I'm doing with you tonight, your own personality, your own words, but it still needs to be very clear to them. In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now stop right there for a moment, and let's think about this. First off, Jesus said, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." Therefore, in this little statement, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit," there had to have been a reason for this. Now, you don't have to be, well, I'll put it like this. Apparently, the work of Jesus wasn't enough. Now, that sounds very heretical, except Jesus Himself said, "I'm going to pray the Father to give you another Comforter." Why should we need somebody else if the work of Jesus was all that was necessary? Do you follow my logic in this? In other words, Jesus Himself is saying, "I'm going to do everything I can, but there's somebody else that you need, just like you need Me." And He says in verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." Now let's just take verse 25 and put it like this. Jesus was saying, "Guys, I've been with you all this time, and I've said all kinds of things to you. So I'm coming to the end of everything I will say, but the One who's going to be sent after Me, the Holy Ghost, remember, I already called Him the Spirit of truth. He shall teach you all things." Now, think very closely about what He just said there. The Holy Spirit is coming after Me. I've been with you and I've said a whole lot of things. But the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, He's coming after Me, and He will teach you all things. In other words, I have not taught you all things. Do you see that in here? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. So not only is He going to teach you all things, but the things that I have said unto you, He's going to bring it back to your remembrance. Now, in the context of what was happening, these circumstances, Jesus is saying, "I've taught you a whole lot of things, yet there's somebody who's coming after Me who's going to teach you all things." But not only will He do that, in the process of doing so, the things that I've told you guys, that you've been with Me all this time, He's going to bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. Now please just think about that statement for a moment. Remember what John wrote at the end of John, the epistle here? He said, if all the things that Jesus said and did had been written down in books, you know, the books would fill the whole world. Therefore, everything Jesus said is not recorded in Scripture. However, we know that Jesus didn't say everything necessary because he said the Holy Spirit's going to be the one to teach you all things. And in the process of this, he's going to bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. Now, can you imagine? You've been with Jesus now, let's just say, 3 years of his ministry. And Jesus is telling you that the Holy Spirit is going to put you in remembrance of what he's been teaching you the entire 3 years. Said, Jesus, I can't remember what you said 3 weeks ago. And you're saying that the Holy Spirit is going to take me back 3 years to all these things that you've taught? And Jesus said, yeah, he's going to do that. That alone, to me, is staggering. Because here they are, they're hearing this, and they're thinking, oh my goodness, how's he going to do that? Wouldn't that be your question? How is he going to do that? Well, Jesus didn't get into it too deeply here as far as how he was going to do that, but he did tell them it would happen. So what we can see in these words of Jesus is this. I've given you information up to this point. I'm leaving, but the Holy Spirit is coming in behind me. He is going to essentially pick up where I left off and teach you all things, but he's also going to put you in remembrance of all the things that I have said to you to this point. Now, when Jesus said, put you in remembrance, it wasn't just a matter of the Holy Spirit reminding them, well, remember when you guys were walking down the Damascus Road, Jesus said such and such? That wouldn't be enough. In other words, it wouldn't be enough for him just to put them in remembrance of what Jesus said. Remember Jesus said he's going to teach you all things? That means he's going to teach you all the things that he put you in remembrance of. So it's not going to be just a matter of him reminding you of what I said, but he's going to teach you the meaning of what I said. He's going to explain it to you. Remember he talked so much in parables more than once. It's like the people didn't have a clue. Even the disciples, they said, Jesus, we don't understand this. What's going on? Help us understand this parable. Please explain this thing to us. And at times the disciples, you know, can read and hear how it's like they were scratching their heads and trying to figure out, well, what does he mean by that? Remember, they're on the boat and Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And they thought Jesus was, you know, concerned about food, you know, a boxed lunch or something. And Jesus had to turn around and tell them, no, I'm not talking about human food. I am talking about the teaching. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. I'm talking about the leaven of teaching, that which can impact you for the rest of your lives. So Jesus is telling them, I'm going to leave. Holy Spirit comes in, picks up where I leave off. He's going to teach you all things and explain to you the things that I taught you beforehand. Now, turn over to chapter 16. Jesus said in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now stop right there. Remember what Jesus just said over in the 14th chapter about the value of the Holy Spirit coming from the perspective of teaching. Now we know the Holy Spirit does a whole lot of other things, but we're just talking about the teaching aspect. Jesus told them, he says, I've got to go so he can come because he's the one that's going to be doing the teaching. I've taught you, I've spoken to you, I've said things to you, but he's the one that's going to be doing the teaching. Now, if we can't grasp how important it is from God's perspective that we get involved with the Holy Spirit when it comes to understanding Scripture, Jesus might as well not have said these things. Because Jesus Christ himself, these words in the English, they may not carry a whole lot of weight to us, but when he was speaking them, you've got to understand, when he made the statement before, how that the things that I speak to you, I say what I hear from the Father, how did he hear it from the Father? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. So he stands up and he's telling them, look, I speak to you what I get straight from God. So Jesus got straight from God it's necessary for us to have some kind of an involvement with the Holy Spirit, because He's the one who's going to teach us all things and explain to us the things that Jesus taught. Well, in verse 7, He says, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come to you. But if I depart, I'll send Him unto you." In other words, again, Jesus is trying to emphasize this, and He's saying, guys, please listen to me. Aside from anything else, it is extremely important. It is expedient. I have got to go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. If the Holy Spirit doesn't come, He can't put you in remembrance of all the things that I've said, and He can't teach you all things. Now look in verse 12. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." In other words, there is so much more, fellas, that I could tell you. There's so much more that I could teach you, but you can't bear them now. When He says you can't bear them now, essentially what He was saying is, spiritually, you are in no position to hear, receive, or understand the things that I want to teach you. Remember how Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus went about teaching and preaching the kingdom of God, kingdom principles. At times, He took a lot of flack for that. In fact, some people even wanted to kill Him because they thought He was coming against the law. Well, Jesus clarified that, and He said, look, I'm not teaching you to break the law, because I'm in the process of fulfilling the law. And until the law is fulfilled, you got to live by it. Not one jot or tittle is going to pass away. But once the law is fulfilled, you've got a whole new set of principles you've got to live by. And that's what I'm teaching and preaching to you, the principles of the kingdom of God. In other words, I'm teaching you what it's like for someone to live here on earth already having the righteousness of the law fulfilled on the inside of them. Or another way to put it is, Jesus was telling them what it's like, the kingdom principles, He was telling them what it's like to walk according to your born-again spirit so that you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And it's the flesh, sin nature, which needs the law, because otherwise you won't know what the righteousness of God is all about. The law, in essence, was a written form of the righteousness of God. So Jesus was teaching them kingdom principles. They thought He's teaching against the law. And He's saying, no, you don't understand. I'm not teaching against the law. I'm teaching you what it's like to live in the fulfillment of the law, having the righteousness of God imparted into your very nature. Well, that got Him into a lot of trouble, because they were so used to living according to something that they thought justified them. And Jesus was trying to explain, you're not justified by the works of the law. You're justified by faith in Me, which is what Paul wrote. Well, as Jesus is teaching these things, He's telling us, I've got a lot of things that I'd like to tell you, but you can't bear them now. Or spiritually, you are in no position to handle what it is that I would like to teach you. However, look at verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Now in this, again, Jesus is emphasizing the need for us to have some kind of interpersonal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We have been taught, well, maybe not all of you, but many Christians have been taught that interpersonal relationship comes through reading your Bible, going to church, being good, following the Ten Commandments. In other words, everything but a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's completely externalized with good things and things that we do benefit from. But it never points us to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was pointing us to the Holy Spirit. He was not, get this, in what we just read, and you can go back and reread it later on if you want to, in what we just read, nowhere in there did Jesus say, read the Bible. Nowhere there in there did Jesus say, read God's Word, or however you'd want to interpret that or say it. He didn't say that. Now, we know Jesus wasn't teaching us not to read the Bible. We know better than that. But what I'm saying is, at this particular point in these verses, Jesus was pointing us to the Holy Spirit. Now, why was He doing that? Well, He already knew ahead of time that the Holy Spirit was going to be the one to inspire the writing of the Bible, the New Testament, what we have in our hands here. What we have, remember when Jesus said that He would teach you all things and put you in remembrance of what I said, or He'll explain to you the things that I have said. The teaching you all things, the written form of that, I'll put it like this. The written form of that essentially starts in the book of Acts. Because, okay, Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Holy Spirit, book of Acts on, okay? So, looking at it from that angle, the teaching you all things actually began in the book of Acts and carried on through and essentially into the book of Revelation, because there is some good teaching at the beginning part of the book of Revelation and here and there throughout it. But nevertheless, if we want to know the essence of what the Holy Spirit was teaching them, all you have to do is read in the New Testament. That's it. There's nothing beyond that. He did not teach them something and then say, oh, wait, don't write that down. I want you to live by it, but don't write it down. I want it to be our little secret, our little revelation. I'll give it to you, but I don't want anybody else to know it. Paul, write this down, but don't write that down over there, because I don't want the rest of the Christians to know this principle of the kingdom. See what I'm saying? Therefore, we have in written form what the Holy Spirit gave. Now, this may sound kind of odd to some people, but once you start here in the New Testament and you go through and you read it, it's important to understand the Holy Spirit is not going to teach anything else beyond this right here. This is it. He is not going to give people, I've got a new revelation. You might have a deeper understanding of something that's been written, but He is not going to give you a new revelation. He is not going to give you something that goes outside the parameters of this Word. So if you want to know what it is, when Jesus made the statement, and He said He's going to teach you all things, if you want to know what it is that the Holy Spirit taught, just start reading the New Testament. It's right in there. It's recorded. Now, that may sound very simple, because you can say, well, gee whiz, I could read the entire New Testament. I mean, from Matthew to Revelation, I could sit down and really, I could read that all in one day. Because I'm a pretty good reader, Brother Martin. And you're saying, this is it? Yeah, that's it. But now, think about all the confusion and strife that exists over just this. Think about how many churches split over maybe one or two verses in the entire New Testament. Think about how much disagreement. You can turn on Christian television and just watch it for an entire day, and there's a really good chance you're going to see one or two or three or four preachers stand up preaching essentially the same passage, but preaching it differently from each other. Therefore, instead of thinking, well, gosh, if that's all there is, you know, basically, let's just say Acts to Jude, okay? Let's just really confine it there. If that's all there is, I mean, all you have to do is go through and read it. And that's the problem. We've been taught to just read it. We've not been taught to go to the one who inspired it, who spoke it for the writing. Now, here's something that's very ironic. We could go through here and each one of us stand up and take a certain amount of passage or scripture, say from the book of James, and begin to expound upon those eight verses from the book of James, or whatever book we would take. And it's very possible that every one of us would come up with a different slant, or in some cases, maybe totally opposite explanations. That doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what He meant. He knows exactly how to teach it. He knows exactly how to explain it. If I relegate myself to simply what I'm taught by people, I'm not allowing myself to receive from the Holy Spirit what He wants me to have concerning what's written in the Word of God. Now, when Paul was writing, turn over to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 2. And we won't be finishing this tonight. And as I shared, the way I'm teaching this, it's for us to understand it to the point that we would be able to explain it to somebody else, but you don't have to take three tapes worth of sittings to explain it to them. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I'm going a little overboard on this, and I know I am, but by the time we're finished, every single one of you that have listened to this, even if you have to go back and listen to the tapes more than once, you should be able to stand up and do exactly what I'm doing. Your words, your personality, and so forth, but you should be able to do it, whether in a setting like this or one-on-one at home over a cup of coffee with somebody, you should be able to do it. And see, this is, I want to be encouraging to you over this, because what we're doing here, this is exactly one of the reasons why there are a lot of problems in the body of Christ, is because we have a lot of people that believe the right things, but we don't know how to explain what we believe. We don't know how to tell somebody why this is true. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, keep in mind that Paul wrote what he wrote because he got it from God. Okay? I know, very simple. Everybody knows that. But now listen, if Paul wrote what he wrote because he got it from God, then we could almost say God is speaking to us through Paul. So what we read in here is instruction, direction, teaching, guidelines that come directly from God. If we reject them, then we are rejecting what God told the Holy Spirit to tell the writers for our benefit. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." Now, when he says perfect, you know he's not talking about I am deity, I am whatever. Perfect, mature, etc. "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." Now, stop for a moment and let's just think for a moment on this verse. Now, we know that just by virtue of the fact this is in Scripture, the things that Paul's talking about when he says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect," he's talking about spiritual things, things from God. Let's say it this way. He's talking about Bible things. "Howbeit we speak Bible wisdom. We speak God wisdom. We speak Jesus wisdom, Holy Spirit wisdom." We're not talking about Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. We're talking about things related to the kingdom of God. "Among them that are spiritually mature, yet not the wisdom of this world." Now, it's very important. Paul is saying, we're not teaching to you theology that comes from the world's way of understanding what God wants you to know. It's not what we teach to you. It's not by the world's patterns. Now, let me just kind of say it this way. "We speak God wisdom among them that are spiritually mature, yet not the wisdom of denominations, Bible colleges, Christian universities, TV preachers, radio preachers, etc., and so forth." In other words, we didn't go to people to find this out. We went somewhere else. "Nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Now in verse 7, Let's just kind of paraphrase it this way. He's saying what we are speaking or what we teach and preach, it is the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, remember when Jesus said that, the Bible says there in the Gospels how that he was preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. Jesus preached and taught kingdom principles. The people did not understand. Just go back and read the four Gospels. They were astonished at his doctrine. They accused him of teaching against the law, breaking the law, leading others to do so. Let's kill him. Let's drag him out and throw him down a hill. Let's do this. They didn't understand. The reason they didn't understand was because they didn't have a born-again spirit that was capable of understanding these things. That's one of the reasons why Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to put you in remembrance of what I've told you so that you can understand what I said and then go out there and properly teach it to the people that you're going to evangelize. But not only that, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you all things. The things that I'd like to teach you, but you can't bear it yet, He's going to teach you these things. And then you're going to turn around and teach them to other people. That is what we could call the mystery. All right? Let's just say that the word mystery is making reference to kingdom principles that we as born-again Christians are supposed to live by, that you cannot understand until you are born again and you're capable of understanding it. So he says that God ordained before the world unto our glory. In other words, it was God's purpose all along for us to understand these things. However, in between Adam and Jesus, there was a real problem called the sin nature. Nobody could understand these things. But now that Jesus has come, between Jesus and eternity, it's a different story. The things that God had ordained unto our glory, the knowledge, the understanding of the mysteries, this wisdom, we now can tap into this. And so he goes on and he says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Well, if you take verse 9 all by itself, it almost sounds like you can't know these things. But if you go to the next verse, verse 10, he clarifies it. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. In other words, verse 9, yeah, that was true before you got born again, but things have changed now. God has revealed them to us. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, or, keep in mind, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. We have received not the spirit of the world. Another way to put that is, the spirit that you now have in you, your life, it didn't come from the world, or what you received when you were brought into this world, when you were born, that nature or that spirit came from Adam, and it was a sin nature, a sin spirit. That's been removed from you. What you've received now, it didn't come from the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now notice, the Spirit, the interpreter's got it right this time. The word Spirit, he's not talking Holy Ghost. He is talking your born again spirit, your new nature. You had a death nature, a sin nature, but when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You were, as Jesus said it to Nicodemus, born again. Jesus said it had to be a spiritual birth. Go back and read John chapter 3. Jesus said it has to be a spiritual birth. So we have been born again spiritually. We have received the spirit or the nature, the life which is of God or which originates from God. Your first nature, when you were born physically into this world, you had a sin nature, a sin spirit, and that came from Adam. But when you got born again, that nature or spirit, that was changed. That's gone. Blood of Jesus not only cleansed you or atoned for the works of sin, but purged you of the sin nature so that God could put His Spirit or His life on the inside of you. And he says, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, when he says the things that are freely given to us, don't think simply in terms of money and stuff. I mean, granted, we understand inheritance and that can be a part of it. In essence, he could say the things, everything related to the kingdom of God that he has already preordained unto our glory that we should have, because we are now born again and we have his life and his spirit on the inside of us, we have the capacity to know the things. Remember, Jesus said, I'd like to teach you more, but you can't bear it. Well, if Jesus were saying this, he would say, now I can teach you more because you can bear it. You have a nature on the inside that's capable of understanding these things. And so he says, the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, or these are the things, kingdom principles, born again nature principle things that we're teaching to you, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now what's Paul saying right there in that? He is saying, what we stand up and we teach to you, we got it from the Holy Ghost. Keep in mind, when he's writing this, see, you have what was written. When he was writing this, he wasn't writing it while looking at somebody else's writings. Now, if I were going to write to you what I'm saying to you tonight, I would be making reference to what's already been written. Paul had nothing to reference. There was nothing he could turn to. He didn't have a concordance. He didn't have a dictionary. He didn't have somebody's dissertation or whatever it would be. He didn't have any of that. He says, we got it from the Holy Ghost, which is exactly what Jesus said back over there in John 14 and John 16, that the Holy Spirit would do these things. And he says, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, now look at this, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And this is where we're going to end tonight. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, let's say this. The Bible that we have, this is a natural thing. Now, here's what I mean. We can touch the paper, can we not? And we could have touched the ink before it was put on the paper, could have put our finger in it. We have the cover, we can touch it. So, the physical book itself is a natural thing. We too often are trained to look at it as natural writing, even though we're told it came from God. Here's what I'm getting at. You can take this and you can read it and you can come to a natural understanding. The Holy Spirit is not going to deal with you on a natural understanding basis. What He's going to do is deal with you on a spiritual basis. Therefore, the teaching that the Holy Spirit does is strictly spirit, Holy Spirit, to spirit, your born-again spirit. He does not go to your mind. He goes to your spirit. And until we come to the point of fully understanding how to interrelate with Him on a spiritual basis, our understanding is going to be exactly what Paul said his wasn't, based on man's wisdom or the world's wisdom to try and figure out what it is that God has given to us here in this book. Now, next time we're going to pick up here, do a little bit of review, and then we'll pick up here and continue on. But this is so very vital for us, because unless we come to the fullness of this understanding and we're able to convey it to people, this is so very basic. See, if you can get this across to people, all you have to do then is look at them and say, if you will apply what I'm sharing with you now about how the Holy Spirit will teach you, you can come to the understanding of what the truth is concerning the prosperity message. You can come to the understanding of what the truth is concerning healing, concerning deliverance, concerning casting out devils, concerning laying on hands, anything, any teaching or doctrine in the Bible. If you figure out how to have this spiritual interaction with the Holy Spirit, He's going to be able to clarify all the misunderstanding. To me, that is encouraging and it is exciting. It means, yeah, I can sit and listen to teachers all the time on the radio, TV, tapes, books, whatever. But I can, if I learn how to have that spiritual interaction with the Holy Spirit, I can go back to Him, engage in that spiritual interaction, and say, okay, is this right? What I'm hearing these people say, is it right? What I've read, is it right? If I give him the chance, he's going to be able to confirm it or deny it. Praise God. Go ahead and stand up.